Ba 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 da 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 da. Hip in the lip. Ba 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 da 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 da. Hip in the lip.
Started.
Ba 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 ba
Things
ba
will be.
ba 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 ba. Hip in the lip. Yes, welcome. I am the hip, and this is the
That
lip.
makes me the lip. Hello, Bit of Lip Nation. Hello.
Hello, hello. This is a New York Islanders podcast, a special podcast in a way, as one of us sits in Orlando, Florida. The hip is on a family vacation, and we don't take vacations for hip and the lip. That's the way to put it for this evening, so that we can continue to bring you the top of the line, most amazing, boisterous, extravagant.
As always, expects nothing less, and I'm sure any of our viewers could probably guess who is currently in Orlando, Florida right now, and who is in his usual spot with the closet door, of course, in its usual state as well.
There is an added element of excitement watching our podcast, which we broadcast live on YouTube. Perhaps I should send out a tweet to our six followers that we are, in fact, broadcasting this live.
And
So.
that's right. We are up to six followers now. We are making headway on Twitter as I am sending out Twitter after Twitter up to 50 something now. We have six followers. How about that?
Hey, you know what? It's actually we have seven. I just checked. All right, very
Wait,
exciting.
ooh, look at
Yeah,
this.
so we're moving.
Right
We
on the
have
double line.
more followers than we're following. That's key in the Twitter world. So tonight, we in part are going through our usual routine of covering the last, in this case, three games for the Islanders against, in this case, the Capitals, then the Devils, away game, the start of their seven-game road trip. And then last night's game against the Minnesota Wild. A couple of stories to touch upon. The New York Post swirling some interesting rumors about maybe the Islanders are relocating already. Kind of crazy to even see that, considering this didn't even complete 1 year in a fairly brand new facility. Hipster moment of zenith. We can't go without that. Discussion of a trade line preview and the upcoming slate of games for the Islanders all on the road. And we will conclude with a. In fact, our first special guest will make an appearance to ask some trivia questions of the Lip so the Lip can show off his endless depth of Islander knowledge.
Uh-oh, pressure's on.
As
Can't
it always
disappoint.
is. So let's start with the Capitals. The Islanders lose in overtime 3-2. This is last Thursday night. So the Islanders are still winless against the Capitals this year. Thomas Greiss getting his second consecutive start in net, having previously won against the Red Wings. And this is a game where the Islanders had to tie it late in the third period, essentially stealing a point. And I'm curious to hear the Lip's take on, is this again another moral victory for the Islanders against the Capitals? Is it the point where they just need to tear open a new one against them. How'd you feel coming out of this game?
Well, it's interesting that you posed it that way because, as you pointed out, the trade deadline is less than a week away. It is next Monday, the 29th, and this was another barometer type game for the Islanders, another measuring stick type game. And they no, it's not a moral victory. They didn't pass, and I think that what this game did is that it kind of reinforces the the idea that the Islanders need to make a move before the trade deadline. And I'll be honest, I didn't think this was a very well-played game for the Islanders. Greiss started. He played very well. Ovechkin, of course, scored two goals within, it seemed like, a blink of an eye to begin the second period. Tavares had a really nice goal, a really skilled, John Tavares-type goal in the first period to give the Islanders an early lead or a 1-0 lead in the first. Yeah, it
Sickle.
was not, I'll just describe, it was a really nice goal, a nice, enter their zone, a nice pass, I think, by Leddy to Tavares, and accepted the pass on his backhand and then quickly brought it back to his forehand at an off angle, kind of, and just wristed it right past them, right in Holtby. So a really nice, you know, really skillful goal, sick goal by JT. Of course, the lead did not last that long. As I just mentioned, Ovechkin scored two goals early in the second on a power play goal, and the Capitals maintained that lead until the very last dying moments of the third period when they, as you said, stole a point as Franz Nielsen was able to sneak a shot past Braden Holtby with the goalie pulled, and that tied the game. And then, of course, the Islanders would go on to lose it in overtime on a Justin Williams overtime goal for the Capitals. But overall, not really a very well-played game for the Islanders. The Capitals dominated stretches of the game, and I think this, like I said, reinforces the idea that the Islanders need to, if they care about winning a Stanley Cup this year, at least, you know, making noise in the playoffs, and of course the Capitals being the best team in the league, they need to move.
Capitals are now have 10 points now more than any other team in the NHL. as we got background,
wow.
we got background jumpers. That's awesome. people you know, trying to listen as the hip is on the road. I love it. So yeah, 10 points more than any other team in the NHL. Dallas Stars, in fact, with the second most points now, 82. You know, they just can't seem to break through on this team. We started our podcast with Gafforshank Redemption with the Islanders losing in their first game this year against the Capitals, and another one. Mm-hmm. You know, Tavares had a sick goal. That was one of the sickest goals I've seen all year. And just reminds us how good he is, and he's only reinforcing what you boldly predicted, that he would pick up his play in the second half, and it continues.
Going on, as always.
we've talked before about overtimes and Jack Capuano utilizing a 1-2-2 line, if you will. Did we see that in this case? Do you recall if he employed that strategy yet again?
Yeah, I was kind of in and out on that overtime as I was not in the confines of my home watching. But I think he had two defensemen and a forward, which you've heard me, you know, yell about in the past. And it's ridiculous. It's absurd. There's no. It doesn't make sense. You're trying to win the game. You're not trying to, you know, not to lose and force a shootout. The idea is to win the game in overtime, this shootout, you know, get that extra ROW, regulation, overtime, non-shootout win. Obviously they lost anyway. So, and they have not performed well in times this year. They've actually performed very poorly in overtimes this year. So you would think that he would change up his strategy there, the head coach. But nope, continues to employ the two defensemen, one forward strategy, which just makes no sense, and it's just ridiculous.
So one other thing that we discussed in fact, the last episode at great length is this a goalie controversy for the Islanders? Should they just start using Greiss more than Halak? Because Halak has looked just outright crappy recently, and this was Greiss's second consecutive start, and it's against the Capitals. Now, you know, it made me wonder, seeing that, okay, now is Greiss like in a 50-50 timeshare maybe with Halak going forward? Considering it really hadn't been that way aside from when Halak was out. Obviously, Greiss played frequently. But I think it was also pointed out the possibility that Greiss would start this game anyway because it was the first of a back-to-back, and that Halak would be used against the Devils, who the Islanders are really fighting for, you know, in playoff positioning. So are we reading too much into it with Greiss getting the start against the Capitals?
Yeah, well, we were speculating on that the last episode, which, of course, was Goaliegate, and the implication being that there may be a goalie controversy. And, of course, now here we are a few days later, and Yaroslav Halak has played twice since then and played very, very well in both of his appearances. But, I guess you don't want to read too much into it. It was a back-to-back situation, so you knew that they were split, you know, that one was going to play one game, the other play the other game. Obviously, you want to read into what they consider to be the most important game, whether they considered the Capitals being, you know, the best team in the conference and a measuring stick type of game, and, you know, their nemesis now for a, you know, going back to last spring, or was that game considered to be a more important game, considering that they were, again, nipping on the Islanders' heels. going into that game. But honestly, I don't think you really read too much into it. You know, we'll see if Yaroslav Halak established himself as the number one in Jack's mind after his two very good performances after struggling there for, you know, a good 5-6 game stretch.
Right. So let's talk about the first of the two great performances, a shutout, in fact, against the Devils on Friday night at the Prudential Center. So this is a game where the Lip was watching this game in person.
Yes, he was. The Lip was at the Rock, and the Hip, I'm sure, would have been with him if not for his family trip to Orlando. But yes, the Lip was in attendance at the Rock, his first time there. I got to say, a very nice arena. We took the train to get there. Not that difficult. Getting back was a different story. You know, I'm sure our audience doesn't want to be bored with those details. But getting there, we actually, by the time we got into the arena, got to our seats, it was already 1-0 Islanders. So I didn't even know who scored that goal, or at least didn't see the goal until I returned home that evening to watch the game on, or at least watch the goal on DVR. Another typical Islanders Devils game, boring ass. Game boring as hell. I mean, you know, I saw basically a scoreless game since, like I said, I didn't see the Islanders' goal and the only goal of the game. It was just a very lackluster, listless game, at least from the Islanders' standpoint. The Devils, pushed the Islanders for a good portion of that game. Halak played very, very well. A couple bad turnovers in the early going. The Devils had a couple really good chances that Halak, came up big. I think I remember another poorly timed penalty by Ryan Strome on the power play in the second period. Johnny Boychuk took another very vicious hit. It was on the other side of the ice. I was sitting on one side. He was on the other side when he took that hit. And yep. Luckily, he was able to get up and come back. And, you know, we were when I saw that happen, I was like, oh, my God, don't tell me it was his shoulder again, because I just saw him go limp there. Luckily, he came back and seems to be all right. But yeah,
that was scary. When he came off the ice, I thought, here we go again. Now we're going to be talking about no DeHaan and no Boychuk. And, you know, is Brian Strait going to be pushing 25 minutes a game?
Yeah. Well, if that ever were to happen, God help us all. Strait Zidlicky tandem, you know, they played together. As Kevin DeHaan, actually, we should point out, was not in this game. He got injured. I think it was in the Capital game. Did he get injured, DeHaan? I'm trying to remember now which game he got injured.
Or the prior game.
Did not play in.
No, I think it was.
It was the prior game? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right. It was a prior game. It was the Detroit, right? That was the game against Detroit at home on President's Day, right? So Strait and Zidlicky were in this game. You know, that tandem mentioned one of their overs in the first period. They were on the ice, and it was those two idiots that gave the puck away to the Devils, and they had a really good scoring chance in the first period. As I said, Yaro came up big there.
Did Halak actually – I mean, look, you get a shutout when the team – he looked sharp, so he made a lot. When you see it in person, notice.
He made some good saves.
Okay. Yeah. So you give him credit.
I was already – He was good. Yeah, I mean, I was already a few beers in. I split a pitcher in 15 minutes, and then I had a couple of tall boys at the game. But from what I gathered, no, he looked sharp. He made a couple of really good saves in the first period. I mean, you know, obviously he got a shutout. You know, played well, but he looked good. Very encouraging.
Did you get to see the replay of the goal at least in this game?
Yeah, I came home and watched it on DVR.
How do you even describe this goal?
Well, actually, somebody had a pretty good description. As I mentioned in prior episodes, I like to frequent the message board, Islander Mania. And, the Islander fans and Islander Mania always comment, at least for Islander Devil games, how boring they are and how, just painful to watch they can be at times. So one of the comments that was made by, I'll give it the poster's name, Rose Tinted Visor, was, and I'm quoting, "Remember when the Devils would get a goal from a fourth liner off a taint and somehow beat us 1-0 all the dang time?" So I got a kick out of that, and I wanted to make sure I got on the air this evening. But
it pretty much deflected off of the guy's taint and went in. I mean, it was just such an awkward part of the body that it touched. Just to it's like he didn't even intend. He didn't know where the puck was going to go. He didn't even realize it hit him until after it hit him.
Yeah, and it was one of the flukiest goals that you'll see.
And it was within the first, like, 2 minutes of the game. It was just a...
I wasn't even in my seat yet. I didn't even see it live. I had to watch it.
In any event,
very odd goal indeed. And, of course, that ends up being the game winner for Mr.
But, look, for the Islanders, you call it a boring-ass game, but, you know, against a team that now, factoring in yesterday's game as well... You know, the Devils are only 4 points behind still, so it's a tight race with the Islanders in third place in the Metropolitan Division, 3 points behind the Rangers, who are in second, and then Pittsburgh, so the Islanders 71 points, Pittsburgh 3 points behind the Islanders, 68 points, New Jersey 67, Carolina 66. I mean, there's just so many teams in this race, and, you know, these games are huge.
No, you're right. I'm not throwing away the win. I'm not. You know, it's a road game. If you can, you know, kind of reduce the game to, you know, just, you know, neutral zone play and trying to limit the other team's chances, and, you know, you score a fluky goal to win. Hey, I mean, that's, you have to win those type of games every now and again. Of course, being in attendance, we would like to see more scoring, but, you know, I'm not throwing it away by any stretch. You know, their penalty kill was great in the game. They got another 5-on-3.
Didn't the Islanders have a five-minute power play in this game that they just couldn't capitalize on? It was their way to break through, and they couldn't.
It was pretty awful. Yeah, I think they had one shot on goal or something during that power play. They were pretty hideous on that power play. Yeah, yeah, that was the hit, of course, on Boychuk.
Halak made a lot of key saves late in the game, and you take it, and it's the first of a seven-game road trip. I think the longest, tied for the longest in franchise history, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of crazy. I don't know how the NHL comes up with schedules, but so be it. Although it is just across the Hudson River for this one. So but kind of leads us to last night's game. Unless you had anything else you wanted to add.
I'll just say one more thing. It was a little poetic, and, you know, just going back to Rose Tipped Advisor's comment about how the Devils would always beat the Islanders like that. So a little poetic because, you know, in past years when the Devils have been better than the Islanders, you know, and Brodeur would be in goal for the Devils, how many times would they beat them 1-0, 2-1 on fluky goals? So a little poetic in that regard. But anyway, onward and upward. Minnesota Wild.
Upward indeed. It's a fitting phrase because – the Minnesota Wild just trounced the Blackhawks in the.
Did you watch any of that game?
I turned it on when it was already like 6-0, so I didn't really get to see the excitement. Ah, okay. But, you know, I did watch some of it, and Minnesota, not, you know, 27-23-10 on the season, so not the most intimidating of records, but just taking out the Blackhawks at home. Blackhawks, one of the best teams in the league, in the NHL. So I'm thinking, are they going to build off this momentum? You know, are they going to build off this momentum with the Islanders coming in, you know, with a loss, overtime loss on the Capitals, and then squeaking out a win against the Devils? Is this a letdown game for Minnesota? And there you go. Sure enough, it is. Now, Islanders taking this one 4-1, really, score-wise, at least, in control the entire game. I think you have to do the honors, though, in bringing up the fact that a certain player was called up before the game. So tell us about who this special player is.
Well, I think I had mentioned this player's name on one of our episodes before, screaming about how I don't understand how this player had not been called up yet, and we have to continue to watch Marek Zidlicky and Brian Strait continue to, starts and, you know, get inserted into the lineup and get, you know, minutes when this kid, you know, could have been called up just to see what he can do. But, you know, Ryan Pulock was called up. Calvin DeHaan is still injured. We don't know, of course, what his deal is, lower body. They were expecting him to come onto the road trip. Now they're not so sure. So I mean, we have to hold our breath there because Calvin DeHaan is a very important defenseman for the Islanders. So we'll see what happens. But Pulak called up, didn't start the game. You know, it was not inserted into the lineup for whatever reason. You know, the ongoing joke in Islander mania land is Jack, I think, had once been quoted as saying that when a previous time a player had been called up, that he didn't get inserted into the lineup right away because he didn't have enough meetings under his belt. So I was going to say maybe Ryan did not get enough meetings, team meetings, in to be able to start in this game, or get inserted into the lineup into this game. But hopefully we will see him the next game as, reverts back to his, typical straight crappiness. But we'll see what happens there. But
So would you think that would be the natural, assuming no other Islanders defensemen get injured, you think Strait would be the one sitting out for Pulak?
Probably. I think Pulak's a right-handed shot. So actually, I guess in that regard, I think, Zdlicky's a right-hander too, so we'll see how they handle that. But they may actually just sit Zdlicky over Strait just because of the fact that it's a left-handed shot, and if they plan on pairing them together, which probably would not be the best idea, plan a rookie with Brian Strait, but we'll see. One of them, will be benched. Again, hopefully, tomorrow, you will see Pulak inserted into the lineup. But stay tuned.
Okay, so tell us about the game, your thoughts on it. 4-1 win, Halak again playing in this one, and I think it kind of puts off the us pushing a goalie gate rumors for now. We'll see how it plays out, but that seems to be not at the forefront of our topics. Brian Strait +2 in this game, I just want to point out. So I wonder if that keeps Pulak riding the pine for now until Strait has a bad game. I know we don't put all the stock into plus minus, but can't help Pulak's cause, I suppose.
That is the typical. It's a typical Islander way, right? He was +2. That must have meant that he played well. How could we sit him? I mean, maybe he's turning into a Norris Trophy candidate type defenseman. I mean, we can't sit him now, right? But hopefully that will not be the case, and Pulak will get inserted in because the bottom line for me is this. Ryan Pulak has a weapon and he has a cannon of slap shot. I mean, apparently. This guy's slap shot is
howitzer.
Well, you talk about a howitzer to describe Johnny Boychuk's. Apparently, this guy's is like the howitzer power that is Johnny Boychuk's slap shot. It's that good. It is that hard and fast, and that's a weapon that you can employ even if you're not planning on playing him. More than like 13, 14, however many minutes a night. Even if you want to give him a few minutes or a few seconds on the power play, you get him onto the second unit and try and utilize that shot of his. And also just again to see if he's NHL ready, we can get an idea. And if he is, then that means that he should stay up for the rest of the season and, continue to play. Now, look, he may not be ready. If they put him in and he looks like he's completely over his head, okay, fine. But then at least now is the time for this kid. He was a first-round pick a couple of years ago. He's had time in the minors. It's time for him to get a legitimate chance. Not one game, I didn't like this one play. I'm going to bench him now next game. No. Now he has to get multiple games. If he looks like he's over his head, fine, send him back down. But if not, he cannot be. I'm going to emphasize this, Garth. He cannot be sent back down to the minors when DeHaan comes back. I'm going to make that abundantly clear. If you have to put Brian Strait on waivers and then send him down to the minors, so be it. He cannot go back to the minors if he plays well. I just had to emphasize
that. So if you're Jack Capuano, and this is the decision that they make, is to waive Brian Strait, what do you tell the locker room? It's our understanding Brian Strait is a locker room guy and he has his crappy plays. We know that. We've gone over this. Look, I understand what you're saying, but this is, emotional guys, day in, day out. Brian Strait's been on the team for how long now? Just for him to pack up his bags and say goodbye, Jack, as unemotional as he seems, how do you you know, and now Pulak, who's unproven, and I understand he's a first round pick and they have to see what he's capable of, but how do you get the players to buy into that?
And look, he may not be ready yet. I mean, it's very possible that Ryan Pulak is not ready to be he'd be a bottom pairing defenseman. You wouldn't be playing major minutes. But look, again, if he's not ready, then you can send him back down to the minors and you continue ahead and you make a trade for a defenseman. You know, we'll see what happens. But look, it's the nature of the business. I mean, in every single sport, every team's, all teams have to deal with this. Players come and go. You know, will the players in the locker room miss him? It sounds like it. He's well-liked. That's fine. But you can't make decisions on your team based off of that. And I refuse to believe this nonsense about team chemistry, that it would completely mess up their team chemistry, that a spare part defenseman, getting sent to the minors is going to have that kind of adverse effect on them. If it does, then they need to find a different line of work. That's all I have to say.
That's all Jack has to say. As Brian Strait's packing his bags right next to him, sorry, you got to find another line of work. You're a fringe defenseman, and I'm not sticking up for the guy. I'm just trying to put ourselves in the shoes of the coach and the issues that they have to deal with. You know, this is a guy that's been coaching the team now. We've discussed it before.
Sure.
Over 400 games for the Islanders. You know, these are a group of guys that have made the playoffs last year, and they're right in the thick of it again, and it would be a significant, I feel like, statistically speaking, Strait coming off the roster is not, on paper, looks fine, but different effect, I feel like, with these guys that show up every day to practice, and they practice together and all that stuff. But like you said, it is the business, and maybe they just have to they have to go for it.
You got to do what's in the best interest. You got to do what's in the best interest of the team. And right now, you need to find out if this kid can play at the NHL level. And
Brian Strait's not going to suddenly improve his play to the point you're like he is what he is. And how much worse could Pulak be than Brian Strait?
Well, that's a fair point. And I could have went there instead of just saying if he's not ready, then you send him back down. But you could also make the point that he can't be that much worse than Brian Strait. So even when DeHaan comes back, even if it looks like he's a little out of place, maybe you hope that he can, improve a little bit. And as the season goes along and kind of, show that he can be, trusted to be given, key minutes down the stretch and potentially in the postseason. But again, I mean, his shot's a weapon, and that has to be a major consideration when they, do ultimately have to decide on, how they're going to proceed forward once DeHaan is ready. I'll be honest, from the little bit I've seen of him, he looks like he's very composed. He has a lot of poise. He has a good solid NHL build. It's not like, he's a 6 foot, 170 pound kid. I mean, he's grown into his body. I mean, it looks like he can play, with, men in the NHL right now. Again, I may be wrong. Maybe he's, he will be in over his head, but, you have to give him a legitimate opportunity, not give him one game and then judge him that and say, oh, he's not ready, send him back down. You have to give him a legitimate shot, at least a handful of games.
Is that Gart's voice? Ready. Is that the G?
he has that kind of very low baritone type of voice.
We brought up the fact that the Islanders won this game against the Wild 4-1 and that Pulak was called up prior to it.
Yep. Right.
The game itself, we should at least, get into it a little bit here. Halak did play, one goal allowed, zero goals allowed the game before. So in his last two games, he let up one goal combined. He looked good again?
Yeah, I thought. I mean, the one goal was not a great. It was a rebound. He could have maybe corralled that a little bit better. It was a shot, kind of weak shot from the point. Probably didn't see it. To react to be able to corral the rebound better. But when it happens, what are you going to do? I mean, Tavares was late in getting to his man there. It happens. But I thought he played well overall. Again, looked sharp. Made a couple really good saves. The Wild had pressure on the Islanders for parts of the game. Had five power plays in the game that the Wild that the Islanders killed. All five, and we'll touch on that too. Their special teams, as I dubbed this a slow game for the Islanders, as they were 2 for 3 on the power play and 5 for 5 on the kill. So a great night for their special teams. But overall, the Islanders played a better game than they did against the Devils. I thought it was a good road game. Again, the Wild had some pressure on the Islanders, but not that many prime scoring chances. The Islanders had a nice goal, Tavares to Nielsen on the power play. That was a nice goal. I think that was the second goal of the game. They overall at the played a really well-structured, I shouldn't say disciplined because they did take five penalties, but overall it was a well-played game.
Nielsen with two goals, the second being an empty netter. He's up to 18 goals. Tavares up to 20.
Shorthanded.
Yep. And it was from it was like 10 feet in front of Halak that he scored from.
Yeah. Tavares, 180 whatever feet, yeah.
Tavares up to 23 goals on the season now when he dumped in his third period goal. The Islanders, I saw a stat, when leading after two periods, their record is 23-1-2 this year.
Yeah, a lot of teams, once they have a lead going through the third period, they clamp down.
Yeah, I saw Capitals, same thing, just one loss, maybe none regulation losses when leading after two on the season. And of course, they only have 10 on the year, if that, but... are most teams are their records that skewed after leading into two periods? That seems crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there are some teams. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure
I would say most, if not all, teams at least have a winning record leading. When they have a lead going into the third period, maybe some. Few more losses in there, but the Islanders actually have been notorious in the past for those that have been, been following the team for a while. Islanders have been notorious for giving up large third period leads. Actually, it's funny, against the Wild last year, the Islanders held a 3-goal lead that they subsequently gave up and ended losing the game. So in that very same building last year, they had a 3-goal lead that they blew. And actually, I think last year in December, four 3-goal leads that they blew. And I want to say lost. They maybe won one of those games. But I'd have to go back and look. But, yeah, they have been notorious in the past for that. So something being done differently in the third period this year. So I guess we'll get to Jack and the coaching staff for that. And also Greg Cronin for the penalty kill, which has been tremendous all year. So I want to get my hats off here to Greg. He was brought in as an assistant coach last year from Toronto. People were – maybe we're not thrilled with him as a hire, but he has done a tremendous job with that penalty kill. They have been absolutely brilliant this year. They really have. I can't, describe it any other way.
So after yesterday's win, in their last eight games, the Islanders are 6-1-1. So they're on a decent run right now. The one regulation loss being that still that awful Carolina game that we don't really want to talk about, and then the overtime loss against the Capitals, but they've beaten the Kings, they've beaten the Devils, the Wild, the Red Wings, so they're holding their ground, and on that high note, why don't we talk about now these rumors about the Islanders maybe leaving their new building, the Barclays?
Actually, for some people, it keeps crescendoing. Then,
keep going high. This is an article that came out now 5 days ago in the New York Post, basically with the writer bringing to light a clause in the agreement between the Islanders and the Barclays Center that allows the teams after the Islanders' fourth season at Barclays, which would be 2021, if I have my math working this evening, to mutually agree to leave. So actually after the fourth season. So it would be at the end of the 2020 season. They could just say sayonara, 4 years and done, Barclays Center. We'll figure it out. Which means, though, that they would have to figure it out well before then, where they would be moving to. Obviously, you can't just opt out of a stadium deal and not have somewhere else to play. So, I mean, is this just, a writer trying to get views? Is this just a writer at the Post just trying to get views, like just bringing this to light? I mean, look, I understand the points that, they're trying to strike this weird balance between getting, hockey fans in some of the, urban neighborhoods in Brooklyn and Queens and, other city boroughs, and the fact that, and at the same time, keeping their strong Long Island fan base, that it hasn't really worked.
Yeah, they're walking the tightrope.
I think you need to give time to work. Look, they have new owners coming in a couple months here. So is this just, you know, an attention getter, clickbait situation?
I think so. I don't think there's really much to this, at least not right now. They're not going anywhere yet. They just into this building. I mean, the Coliseum, I mean, people hope that they'll one day go back to the Coliseum. You know, right now, I mean, their plan to refurbish it is going to, you know, result in like 13,000 for hockey. You know, they can't have that. I mean, that's just impossible. So, I mean, they'd have to then, you know, redesign, you know, how they're going to be refurbishing if they were to go to Long Island, or, you know, maybe they'll go to Kansas City. There's a building there. Quebec City or whatever. But no, they're not going anywhere, at least not anytime soon. I just don't buy it. You know, it hasn't been a good relationship so far. You know, the Barclays Center, look, I mean, the fans, you know, it was just the manner in which the Islanders took up and, you know, picked up and left. Yes, we knew that this was coming, you know, because of the fact that their building situation unresolved for so long. And, you know, and Charles wasn't able to get his, you know, his, the Lighthouse Project developed, and we know the whole story with that, and then the referendum that failed, and then, you know, they signed this deal with Brooklyn 2012, so we knew this was coming, but, you know, it's been a rough transition for both sides, and, you know, the island, you know, right now, the basically everything is being run by the Barclays Center Group, led by Brett Yormark, who's the CEO of Barclays Center, so he's handling, you know, the business operations, and, you know, basically, you know, the fan relations, and all that, and, you know, he has not done a great job of it so far. I think he was very surprised at how passionate this fan base was. It may not be the biggest fan base in the league, but I would, you know, I would put its passion up against any other fan in the league, and I mean anyone. And I think it caught him by surprise.
One thing we have to bring up, though, and in fact, this is a question that we get from a new follower for us on Twitter.
Ooh, all right,
look. Let's not get too excited. It is a family member follower, but we'll take it. It's something. Ah. this question is from, he goes by Bones, and he asks, why do the Islanders have a car on display located in prime seating? So Rip, I'll leave this one for you to answer.
You know, I think Howie on a broadcast put it as saying that it's their new mascot, the SUV. I think that Howie was quoting that, so we'll go with that. It's their new mascot. I'm not really sure. It's so ridiculous watching a broadcast, and whenever the puck's on that end of the ice, to see that SUV just standing there. Anybody like from that doesn't normally watch it on the broadcast is what it's on national TV or something to watch. They're probably saying to themselves, "What the hell is going on? What is that? Why is there a car there?" And I guess it's there for net games, right? I mean, they don't move it unless they, do they park? I guess, do they park it there just because they don't want to have a big black hole space there? And they're like, let's just put a car in front of it? So to answer Bones' question, I'm not 100% sure. We'll go with it's their new mascot, the Islanders SUV. They should probably.
I'm sure the Barclays Center will go with that answer too. I want to now get over with the hipster moment of Zenith. It's our
get it over, you know, with.
It's a required segment of our shows, and it occurred shortly after the Islanders lost to the Capitals last Thursday, and I was watching the local Fox 5 New York City news, which airs at 10 p.m. on weeknights, and. Their typical sports reporter, Russ Salzberg, doing his bit, and he's a fine sports reporter. And if Russ ever hears this, I don't want him to hit this to be held against him.
Sweater.
What's
that?
Yeah,
Russ the sweater. He's the sweater.
So
the sweater schmoozer.
So Mr. Russ was reporting, and in his sports report, the first item of business was the fact that pitchers and catchers reported. At Port St. Lucie for the New York Mets. And included in that bit was a couple clips of Terry Collins and how, we made the World Series, but, we got to show these guys that we're committed to do it again. And, of course, they're going to be motivated and not cocky, that kind of thing. And showing, a clip of Noah Syndergaard throwing a pitch off of a mound to a catcher and Jacob deGrom throwing a warm-up toss.
Very exciting.
Very exciting stuff. And must have spent literally 2 minutes on that. And then after that concludes, he, it goes to a picture of him and he says, and the Rangers won and the Islanders lost. And that was it. And this was a Rangers win against the Rangers beat the Maple Leafs and the Islanders lost to the Capitals in overtime. To me, it like I said, it's nothing against Russ. I think it's more of it's more of this idea that look, it's just the reality of New York sports, and we don't have to go into this with much detail. Just the fact that baseball has much broader
appeal. This is why we exist. This is why Hip and the Lip exists, because we're filling that gap. For those that wanted, analysis on the Islanders or just something, Islanders won or Islanders lost, Rangers won, that's not cutting it, Fox 5. So shame on you, Fox 5. But anyway, continue.
Well, is it Fox 5's at fault? I mean, look, I feel like hockey, but they're just catering to the masses. Hockey is a niche sport. You don't, you have casual hockey fans, but like, compared to casual baseball fans, I mean, the hockey fans are pretty diehard fans, and there's just much broader appeal to baseball. That's just the way it is. But we like it that way selfishly because it gives us an opportunity to actually have listeners, because if we talked about the Mets and Yankees, who's going to actually tune in other than friends who can tolerate our, weird jokes and unintentional farts that make the air. So, so Hipster Moment of Zenith. So let's just take a couple of minutes here to talk about the trade deadline for the NHL, because that's coming up.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned earlier, and it's fast approaching. It's going to be here on Monday, and there's a ton of rumors. I mean, there's rumors all over the place about certain players. I heard Pierre McGuire today, the commentator for NBC, was talking about Edmonton, and the Edmonton head coach was quoted as saying, hey, look, or something. I'm paraphrasing, but if we have to move players out of here, whatever, after another lackluster loss for them, and you have other players, Andrew Ladd of Winnipeg and Eric Staal in Carolina, all free agents. I'm just going to say this right now, and it's funny. So you mentioned baseball and how this is a baseball-centric town. All of us who love baseball, and or if you're a Met fan, you would appreciate this analogy. And the Mets last year, they traded for Jonas Cespedes, and please, since you're a diehard Met fan, please feel free to chime in at any point. The Mets offense last year, before they traded for Cespedes, was terrible. The Mets were a mediocre team at best, and nobody for a second would have believed that this team was going to make the World Series. If you would have asked the Met fan, if you would have said to a Met fan on July 1st last year that the Mets would have been in the World Series, they would have looked at you like you had four heads.
Absolutely.
And what happened? Yeah, and you bring in Jonas Cespedes, and what did that do? It galvanized the team and injected the team with a burst of energy. Obviously, look, Cespedes had an insane 2 months, for the Mets there, and was a huge piece, a huge reason as to why they were able to win the division, make the playoffs. We know that there were other players that were injured that came back to supplement what Cespedes was doing, but it just gave the Mets life. It injected life into that team and into the fan base. And sometimes you can't put a tangible value on what that does. And I'm just going to draw the analogy now, from the Mets, back to the Islanders. And the Islanders, look, the way that they're constituted, are they going to make the playoffs? Probably. Make noise in the playoffs the way they're constituted? Possibly. Are they winning a Stanley Cup? Likely, but look, you never know. Strange things have happened. But I'm going to say this right now. And for Islanders that have been living and dying with this team now, going back to the early 90s, and I'll say this again for those that forget, the Islanders have not won a playoff series since 1993. That is embarrassing, that is pathetic, and that has to factor in the way that this team operates on a daily basis. Now, look, we understand that every team is going to have their philosophy and their, you know, approach as to how they're building a team. And in a salary cap world, we understand that prospects, entry-level contracts are key. But when you have and this year in the Eastern Conference, other than the Capitals, there is not one team that I would say right now is necessarily better than the Islanders when the Islanders are playing at their best. And Gart Snow has an opportunity. He has first-round pick. He has prospects. He has an opportunity to go out and make a bold move. And again, there's a myriad of names out there that would satisfy this. Make a bold move and a bold statement to the league that says, we're going for it now. And
right
he
now.
Owes it to this team right now. And he owes it to this team and to this fan base to make that move. There's no more next year. The time to win is now. This rebuild has been going on since 2008. I honestly don't believe that the way they're made up right now, that they can really make a legitimate run. But honestly, they need an injection of energy, what a new player would bring by, you know, making a move like that. And the time for this is now, and if Gart Snow doesn't do it, let's just say that the next Hypnolip episode, which is tentatively scheduled for Monday or two, whenever we're going to do it, yep, it'll be after the trade deadline, and I have some choice words for Garth if he only goes out and brings in a spare piece or a depth player, a depth-type player. So
we'll
see
what
happens.
What
I have to say.
Okay, all right, well.
your thoughts? Well, but your thoughts just like on my Mets analogy, and like, do you think that it's – I understand that you're comparing, you know, apples and oranges a little bit with baseball and hockey, but I think that cesspit is straight.
Right. Well, what you're getting at is the cesspit trade was an injection, and it worked. Look, the Mets didn't win the World Series, but they were pretty darn close. I mean, it ended up working because he crushed the ball in the second half and, you know, led them into the playoffs, and they made a deep run. So maybe that is something that the Islanders need to do. So we'll see what happens. And I'm a Mets fan as well, and it was a fun run. So we'll see what happens here with the Islanders in the thick of this playoff race. So with the upcoming games, you know, the next three games are all on the road. They're, you know, games 3, 4, and 5 of this 7-game road trip, at Calgary tomorrow night, then at Edmonton. Tomorrow's Thursday, so then they have 26th, 27th off. I wonder what they do on those two off days, because they go from Calgary to Edmonton. And then they take and the Edmonton game's a Sunday game. And then they play against the Canucks on Tuesday next week. So it'll be interesting to see the goalie usage and the trade deadline coming up and if Pulak plays. So interesting slate. Before we bring on our guest to have a little fun, do you have any last words about this upcoming slate of games?
I guess not. I guess I got plenty of words in there, right? I think you kind of summed it up pretty well there. I mean, this is one of the roughest stretches of the season. You know, you go on a 7-game road trip, it's never easy no matter who you play. And, you know, look, they're not playing, you know, top teams there, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, all three, you know, mediocre to below average teams, you know, that have all not been playing very well recently. So, I mean, you hope you can win 2 out of 3 of those games. And then, I know that they finish up eventually with the Rangers at MSG. Before they play their next home game against Pittsburgh. But, I mean, look, they need to keep putting up W's here, especially against, you know, these opponents that they're better. Because they
sit
in the muck of that Eastern Conference. Anyway.
So let's have a little fun now. We've gotten through a lot of content, and we have this is our first special guest on Hip and the Lip, and this is family. What better than family to have? This is a big Rangers fan, so, you know, injects a little life into the rivalry. Why not? You know, can't keep it all Islanders on this show. And what would you like to be introduced as?
You could just call me Chaz. I mean, Chaz works. I got a lot of different names, you know, growing up. grab onto a hold of those if you're a Ranger fan.
Yes.
Chaz is my brother.
Charles. Okay, so Chaz is my brother. One of two brothers. I'm the middle child. Chaz is the younger brother. Both my brothers are you know, huge Ranger fans. And so I, you know, this is a family trip, and let's inject some fun here. So Chaz, what do you got for the lip today?
All right, so two questions. You know, I'm gonna bring you back to some happiness there, Lip. You know, in 1983 was probably the last time you've ever been happy with this team by the sound of your intensity and your, you know, everything that you talk about. You know, you're very passionate. So I'm gonna bring some happiness back. So a couple of questions from that series.
All right.
First question I have is I'd like to know who the radio announcers were for the New York Islanders. There were two men, so I'd like to know those names.
Wait. So 1983, who was calling the games for the Islanders on the radio?
Radio announcers. Yes, that announced the entire season as well as the Stanley Cup.
I'm not sure of this. I can tell you that it was when I was young in the early 90s. It was Barry Landers, and
he was one of them.
Actually, I think Nystrom was a. Was he? Okay, so he was doing it back then too. I couldn't name the other one though. I couldn't. Well, that's all. I didn't even know that Barry was doing it back then. But right,
well,
I couldn't name the other one. So you stumped me on that.
Well, you got one.
I'll give you a guess.
All right, give him a hint.
The last name of the other radio announcer is the last name of a player that was on the team in 1983. In fact, we hate him very much.
Oh, Jean Potvin?
That's it.
All right. All right, let's do it.
That's all right.
All right.
So question number two, also from 1983.
Okay.
Apparently Billy Smith was very hated amongst the Edmonton fans, the newspapers, the Edmonton Journal especially. They had five nicknames for him. You know, because of his slashes, he was just very unpopular. You know, he shut them out in 7 of the 12 periods in the Stanley Cup, which is pretty good. And he only allowed 6 goals. He was hated. So he had 5 nicknames from the Edmonton Journal, and I'd like to know 3 of the 5.
This one you got. I mean, the Lip's father may know this, but the Lip doesn't. It's just too far before my time. I couldn't give you any of them. I mean, I know, you know, Billy Smith's reputation, of course, and, you know, whacking at the ankles of players that dared stand by his crease, but nah, you got me.
Did the Islanders have a nickname for Billy Smith that you know?
I mean, the moniker he's always gone by he's always been known as the greatest money goalie of all time. So, of course, the reference there being that when the game was on the line, you know, clutch game, clutch save needed, he was going to make it.
Would you like to hear them?
Let's hear him.
What's that?
Let's hear him.
Let's do it. Let's hear him. I give up.
Public enemy number one.
Okay.
Mr. Obnoxious. Samurai Billy.
Ooh, Jack that's interesting.
Ripper.
Wow.
And a creep. Those are the 5.
A creep. Some flattering, some not so flattering.
We have a creep lingering over here. Okay. Never mind, he's gone. The creep is gone. All right, that's it for me, gentlemen. Appreciate you letting me come on. First time.
All right, well, thank
you. First
all right, well, thank you for coming aboard. Well, I'll tell you what. Well, Charles, if the Islanders play the Rangers.
I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, one more. All right.
One more question.
One more.
So going back to happiness, the Islanders beat the Wild the other night.
Yep.
And I just want to, you know, there's no right or wrong answer to this. It's really just opinionated, but I need to know the answer from you.
Right.
Which player on the team that played the Minnesota Wild built up the most duck butter that evening during the game?
Wait, one more time. So he built up the most what?
Duck butter. Would you like the definition?
Please, duck butter, please.
So duck butter is the thick film that builds up, you know, around your scrotum or your grundle, whichever word you want to use. I mean, whatever you're comfortable with. That also combines with your anus sweat as well. The combination of the two, very thick. You know, it's some days. I'll give you a good example. The postman on a very hot summer day, good candidate for some duck butter. So, you know, you could spread it on toast. I mean, whatever you want to do with it. But
have you done it before? Have you spread it before? Have you
built up the?
Have you chosen duck butter as opposed to like Land O'Lakes butter to spread on your toast before?
I mean, you know, I can't believe it's not duck butter. You know, it's just. But no, which player you think built up the most?
All right, so both teams are just all the players
that
played in the game. Just for the honors, okay. Well, you know, I guess I got to go with, and he had a very big hit in this game. Is Cal Clutterduck.
How fitting.
Cal Clutterduck Butter.
I appreciate it. And
Cal Clutterduck Butter.
That's all right, well, Charles, I tell you what, you'll come back on. If the Islanders play the Rangers in the first one, if they play them at all, you'll come back on as a special guest. We'll break it down.
I come back every night. First time, never.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
Well, I think you and listeners alike didn't expect that one coming, but I approved it as appropriate for, you know, considering we've had very detailed descriptions of bowel movements on previous episodes. I thought, you know, the lip would enjoy a duck butter discussion for which he was not aware of the term. So now you are, and you found a great answer with Cal Clutterduck. we could just start calling duck butter going forward. So,
and
in a positive light, because he's a solid player and he works hard and builds up a lot of sweat. So the duck
that
butter
he does.
All right, well, that's gonna wrap it up here from Orlando and you from New York City, and we will see you next week with a few games to cover as the Islanders continue their road trip and a trade deadline having passed. Thank you for tuning in, as always. I am the Hip, and this is the Lip. Yes.
Yes. And a good evening, everybody. And yes. Good night.
Oh, yes. All right, bye. All right, bye. Follow us on Twitter. Rate us on iTunes, number 5 stars.
Yes,
oh,
please rate us.
Yes, 5. Oh, yes. All right.
Follow
all right,
us and rate us.
Bye.